number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime is the right time.
On the nighttime,
it's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
I have no idea why tonight I did not really enjoy watching the NBA draft. I don't know why. I like the event. I have always enjoyed watching the NBA draft. I like the analysis. I like seeing teams build, and I like seeing certain players that I know from college going to certain places. I don't know why this one just didn't have it for me. I think maybe it was a lack of surprise. Maybe it was the lack of really strong players, and so you can start playing a chess match, moving pieces, whatnot. This was Ben Simmons and Brandon Ingram, and that was their show. And everything else was, you know, hey, guys that may make an impact, guys that may not, guys that are just kind of nice to have around. Maybe that was it. Or maybe it was the fact that a lot of the players in the first round were guys I never heard of before. They were foreign players that I know, you know, that were good and well scouted. And a lot of people that I trust say that these are impact guys, but there's the familiarity factor of that. I don't know. I just didn't seem to get all in on this draft. One of the reasons is it's long. It's not that it's the timing is of the picks is long. It's 5 minutes, but you know, it went 3 hours tonight, and that's a good haul. Especially when you're not enthralled by it. And especially when there's nothing really sexy about it, or there's no big wait for something big. So yeah, it dragged on a little bit. Two, I really do think that in the end, when you're top heavy like that, when you have two guys that are clearly head and shoulders, and then everybody else is kind of playing for pieces that may or may not work, we're not really sure, I think that loses some of the excitement of it. Nevertheless, we have the NBA draft to get to, and we'll break it all down. Top 10 quick hits coming up. We'll give you my thoughts on the guys who were selected and who did good, who did okay. I don't think anybody did terrible. That's the other thing. I don't think there's any Fs, because it's different from the NFL draft. This is mostly a need thing. In the NFL, if you have the 10th pick overall, you know, we hear this all the time. Do I take best player available, or do I fill a need? And that's the argument the NBA has all the time. And you'll hear GMs say, no, we got to take the best player on the board, even if we are okay at that position, because you never know, and it's good to build up depth and whatnot. NBA is a little different. If you're heavy in guards, there's no need to bring a guard. And when you do, people kind of question that. Maybe you're going to make a trade. Maybe you're going to make a move. If you need a big guy and you don't take one, people are going to question that. So the immediacy of need is prevalent in the NBA draft. That's why you may have a great player on the board, but he's not necessarily the need of the Phoenix Suns, let's say. The Suns may be looking in another direction and making a pick in that regard. Ben Simmons, the drama of Ben Simmons and whether or not he was going to go to the LA Lakers was over by the time we got here on Thursday. There was really no surprise. The Sixers had kind of made it clear that they were going to pick Simmons. Simmons kind of had resigned to the fact that he was going to be the number one overall pick. He had met with the Sixers on Monday after not working out with them earlier in the month. Brandon Ingram then went number two, and that was zero surprise in that. I thought there was a little bit of surprise at three with Jaylen Brown, and I don't think it was because of the pick per se, although I thought that they would go with a more experienced guy in Chris Dunn. But the Celtics, I was surprised they could not find a partner for their pick. I was really shocked by that. In the end, trading picks and trading players is sort of a guessing game. But I thought the Celtics were going to get rid of that pick, and even when they made the pick for Brown, I thought at any moment they were going to announce that pick had been traded to somebody else for a package deal. Some other thoughts in round number one. Buddy Hield going to New Orleans. I love this pick for the Pelicans. They need a guard. They need another offensive player besides Anthony Davis. Davis has been in the league a while, but even though he's a young guy, he's been in the league now, 4 years? And I'd like to see the Pelicans with him take that next step. I think Hield could possibly get him there. I think the backcourt for the Denver Nuggets is going to be great with Jamal Murray and Emmanuel Mudiay. I thought that was a great pick for the Nuggets. Otherwise, there was no real Fs on the board. I don't even think there was a D on the board for me. Everybody else, you know, you could take it or leave it, because I think that pool of players outside the top two are kind of take it or leave it. There was a big trade made by the Oklahoma City Thunder. They sent Serge Ibaka to Orlando in exchange. They got Victor Oladipo, Ilyasova. They got the rights to Sabonis. This was a move that I think for Oklahoma City, this was the we really want Kevin Durant to stay move. And I think this was a move of, hey, we think Victor Oladipo can have an impact right away. We like Sabonis. Serge Ibaka was really important in the playoffs, but he's expendable here. And I think this is a move to sort of convince Kevin Durant that they're trying to take that step in the right direction. 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. Well, get your thoughts on the draft if you saw something that you liked or saw something that you didn't like. But overall, and it is really about perception of your team. I mean, this is kind of a nooks and crannies draft. I know my team needs help at the small forward, and I'm glad they addressed it here. My team needs some guards, and I'm glad they addressed it here. So otherwise, I saw this draft tonight as rather long, not filled with a lot of drama, not all that exciting. I think some of the picks were predictable. Nothing really blew me away, and there wasn't a pick tonight where I went, wow. There was a minor surprise in Memphis. They went with Wade Baldwin, the point guard out of Vanderbilt. There had been reports that they loved Malachi Richardson. In fact, told the Syracuse shooting guard that they were going to pick him if he was available. Well, he was available, and they didn't pick him. They went with Vanderbilt's Wade Baldwin. People make a big deal like, oh, well, he gets to stay in state. And those angles are irrelevant. I don't think teams draft locally. With the emphasis on local. I think there's no need to in the NBA. You're not selling tickets. It's not minor league basketball where if you grab a local guy that people sort of go, I remember that guy when he played, you might have a selling point. You take the best position, the player that you need, the best graded position. But it early reports out of Memphis was that Malachi Richardson was the guy that they wanted. So I was a little shocked by that. Again, 800-777-2907. We're also going to get into the Las Vegas situation with the NHL and how in the world did this city become an it city. Later in the show, we're going to talk to Case Kiefer. We're going to join him from the Las Vegas Sun. Look, 10 years ago, this was an untouchable city for professional sports franchise. Now it is becoming a NHL destination now. Oakland Raiders want to move there. Major League Baseball said, yeah, Vegas, if they put something together, we'd consider it. You know, the NBA has sort of toyed with the idea as well. It has become an it city. How did it get there? Again, Case Kiefer will talk to us as well. We got a lot of other things to get to today around the NBA. LeBron not going to the Olympics. We're going to dissect more of the Derrick Rose deal. And also the NBA draft, which is at pretty much at front and center of tonight. There are two things about the NBA draft that kind of threw me off a little bit. One was the length, as I said earlier tonight. It's 3 hours. Draft shows are long. That's the way it goes. It's a business. It's a television show, but it's a business show too. You know, when you're conducting the business of the league with drafts and all that, you know, they run long. So this was about 3 hours, and you throw in commercial breaks and 5-minute pick times, and it did carry its weight. But the second thing. The one thing about the NBA draft that I've always had fun with is that you never know when things are really, really going to pop. There are trades that happen in the NFL first round, but the NBA, they're always deals. There's always players on the move. Guys will pick players and then hold them, and then you have to, and then an hour later you find out that they're trading that pick. So there's a lot of movement around, and that's always made the draft a little difficult for fans to be 100% in, unless you have real foreknowledge that your team is really willing to trade picks and players. So if you're just an average fan, you know, let's say you're a Minnesota Timberwolves fan, and Chris Dunn is selected with the 5th pick, and you like that pick, and you think that pick is going to be great, and you're excited about that pick, and you can't wait to see Chris Dunn in a Timberwolves uniform. If you're, you know, if you know anything about the NBA draft, hold on, because at any point they could announce that Chris Dunn is traded and his rights have moved on to somewhere else as well as a package deal. And it happens enough to make you sort of go, oh, okay, where are we headed? So those two things, we didn't have a bunch of that tonight, but we had enough. And those are just the two observations on the NBA draft. But otherwise, I thought it was top heavy with the 1-2 pick. It was okay, you know, 3 through 20 or so. And then it just becomes fill a player. You know, take a player, fill a player. Make some news. This guy could be good. This guy could need some development. This guy needs more strength. So that doesn't make this as exciting as other drafts. I didn't see John Calipari around screaming for Jamal Murray to be picked number one, or why in the world did Scal Labissiere go all the way down to 28? So that could have added some spikes. There wasn't an Anthony Bennett moment where everybody at the table went, oh my God, what the heck is this? Ben Simmons was the best player in the draft, and Ben Simmons went number one in the draft. So no drama there as well. We'll take a look at the top 10 selections. I'll give you my thoughts on them. At Tony D Radio on Twitter and 800-777-2907.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio on the night that Adam Silver and the NBA took center stage at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn for the NBA draft. Two rounds already in the books. Let's go to Kai in Oregon on Yahoo Sports Radio. What's up, Kai?
Hey, how are you?
Good. What's on your mind tonight?
I'd like to talk about the Utah Jazz.
Jazz. Okay, go ahead.
About their draft. And I'm wondering why they drafted point guards, because they have loaded up point guards now, and they need another big guy. Are they going to get that in the free agent market, or
I would assume so. I don't know why. The player you're talking about is Isaiah Whitehead out of Seton Hall. I wouldn't know, but listen, they traded him. They traded Whitehead already? Why wouldn't I know that? No, they traded Torian Prince. Torian Prince was the guy they took in with a 12th pick. He goes to Atlanta.
Yes, and then they traded him for the 55th pick or something, the Seton Hall guy. And they
got
a guy,
Isaiah Whitehead. Did they ship him out already?
Yeah.
That lasted, what, 2 seconds? So they picked up Joel Belomboy from Weber State?
Yes, what do you think of him?
I don't know much about him because I don't know much about Weber State.
He's a really good rebounder.
What do they play out of? What's that conference in the great Northwest there? What is that conference? It's got Montana, Montana State. It's a good conference.
Big Sky or something.
The Big Sky. Yeah, the Big Sky. I should know that. Northern Colorado played.
And then they also picked up a guy from North Carolina, a point guard.
Tyrone Wallace out of Cal.
Yes.
So they are heavy on the point guards.
They also just got
George Hill in the trade.
They also got Marcus Paige.
When did they get Marcus Paige?
He was drafted as well.
Yes.
That's right. That was Brooklyn's pick.
Right.
See, I was all excited about Brooklyn's pick with Marcus Paige. See, what did I say earlier tonight? You can't keep up with this without a scorecard.
Oh, yeah, you can.
I know. So what do you think? Who could they get a free agent to help a big guy? They need
a big guy. Well, first of all, what is the Jazz cap space situation? Are they in good cap space situation? Because that's always the key when you want to talk free agency.
Yeah.
All right.
They traded Whitehead for the Brooklyn pick.
Okay, so they traded Whitehead. Let's rewind this. Whitehead goes to Brooklyn. The Brooklyn pick goes to Utah. That's Marcus Paige.
Right, and they got cash in the deal.
They also had the 52nd pick, and they chose Joel Belomboy out of Weber State. And then they also had the 60th pick in the draft, and that was Tyrone Wallace out of Cal.
Right.
Okay. Well, we got that all straightened out.
Yeah, Jazz did a lot. Everybody did a lot. It seemed like everybody moved.
It's a busy, busy time for Utah. Yeah. I think the George Hill situation was great for them. I thought that was a great addition. And then the Torian Prince went to the 17th pick, went to the Atlanta Hawks.
The confusing thing that Kai brought up was, okay, so they drafted Whitehead, they traded him, ended up picking Marcus Paige, who's basically a point guard, combo guard. They also have Dante Exum, they have George Hill, and they have Trey Burke. So they have a glut of little guards that can play point guard mostly and kind of fit at that two if you really want to stretch it.
Are the Jazz done? Are they going to package some of that stuff up?
And then you have to
think that that would be what they would do, right?
Right.
Golly.
The move I didn't understand all night is the Magic trading for Ibaka because it's only 1 year.
They gave
up good pieces.
I thought they gave up good pieces. Look, Frank Vogel is trying. I think trying to strip things down and build things back up in Orlando. I like Victor Oladipo.
Yeah.
I was really blown away by this because I'm with you. I understand it from the Thunder point of view. I get the Thunder.
100%.
I totally get the Thunder saying, Kevin Durant, please, we are going to put in place some pieces here. Because Ilyasova is a good role guy. They think Sabonis has got some upside, but Victor Oladipo is a shooting, a shooter that they need. But I wonder how much Frank Vogel is just sort of going, look, I have a vision that's a couple of years away. Let me strip this. I'll take Serge Ibaka, an expiring contract. I'll get that. And then maybe that's the only reason I can think of.
Yeah, I get that. But it's like you're Orlando.
That's the only explanation.
Yeah, it is.
Because you're trading away a couple of guys on your team that really did have an impact.
For me, you got to realize you're Orlando. You're not going to bring in a big free agent, even if you have money, because you're not really a destination. You don't have that star at all. So you're giving up a guard who is going to go to the Thunder and be perfectly fit right there next to Westbrook because he's such a good defender. Now Westbrook doesn't have to guard Clay. Oladipo can guard Clay.
No, I think with the Orlando situation, though, is that I think they're seeing a larger picture. I disagree in a little bit when it comes to it's not a destination. Money is always a destination for certain guys.
But everybody has money.
But hold on. Some guys can't get money where they want to go. So you can get money where you may not want to go. So you're not talking about the major max player guys. Sometimes a guy can only get so much. Like if he really wants to go to New Orleans, he may not be able to go to New Orleans, but he can get a bigger deal in Orlando. So on that standpoint, Kevin Durant is not going to go play for the Magic if they freed up all the money in the world. The big name players aren't going to go play for the Magic, but I think there's enough stripping down and rebuilding from Vogel's standpoint that would only make sense with this. Because Steven Zimmerman, if he hasn't already been shipped off already, is not, that's not a sexy piece for the draft to sell the future of the Magic. But you also remember, like, the Magic, when Scott Skiles was there, the Magic really had moments where they played well enough, but were still a rather awful basketball team for most of it. So I wonder if this is the management's way saying, look, we're going to let Vogel take this to another place. Strip it down and rebuild it any way you can. So I don't know. Maybe this is a 5-year plan in Orlando. I don't know. But I'm with you. I don't see it from Orlando side, but I totally see that move from Oklahoma City side.
Because that becomes
a great selling point to say to Durant, we're on the right track. We are getting the pieces. The things you think we're missing, we're trying to fix here.
Yeah, I completely agree from Oklahoma side. From Orlando side, it reminds me of a trade they did in the middle of the season where they traded Tobias Harris, which is a nice piece on a good contract, for Brandon Jennings, who's going to be a free agent after this coming season also.
Yeah.
So it is weird. It seemed like they were all headed in the right direction. They have good young pieces.
I thought they were heading in a good direction with Scott Skiles as their coach.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And the fact that he had issues with the management and he quit.
A lot of people liked their direction and their young players and
exactly.
They were growing together. And
maybe
all of
this
sudden,
is one of the reasons that he quit.
Maybe
management is really messed up down in Orlando.
Maybe that is it.
Maybe it's more messed up than we thought. That's why he walked away.
Yeah,
Scott Skiles walked away from one of 30 jobs in the world.
Yep.
And he said, nah, that's enough.
But from Oklahoma City, it's perfect. That was a great trade.
Great trade. Sabonis
will just replace Ibaka, not instantly, but he'll be good enough to be a rotation big man.
And they get the shooter in Oladipo that
right.
they like.
They still have Cantor and Steven Adams.
All right, so Case Kiefer's going to join us, Las Vegas Sun. We're going to talk about how in the world did Las Vegas – it's been such a outside city when it came to professional sports, landed the NHL franchise, and now possibly the Raiders. That's next, Yahoo Sports Radio.
This is Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Working the third shift.
This is Tony D.
Once again, from the Quicken Loans Studios, here's Tony D.
It's Tony D here on the nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday. The city of Las Vegas is getting an NHL team. And as I told you, when I did 3 years in Vegas in the late 90s. And when I was living there, a professional team going to Vegas seemed so far out of whack. And nobody really wanted to touch the city. Now it is extremely popular. The Raiders may want to go there. Major League Baseball said the idea is not out of the realm of possibility. And now an NHL team will be in there. How did the city come around and put this together? Case Kiefer joins us in the Las Vegas Sun here on Yahoo Sports Radio. How are you, Case?
Hey, I'm doing well. Definitely a big time for Las Vegas. Really exciting. And I think it's a combination of a bunch of factors of what's come around. I think one thing that everyone, of course, is obvious that has changed since the late 90s. I think the leagues have gotten a little smarter about gambling and the dangers of sports betting. I mean, Las Vegas is so regulated if you're going to play sports bet. And the casinos here have, you know, the utmost reason to have the games be integrity and not have anything be in disarray, I guess, or have anything that's could be iffy, because they stand to lose a lot of money too. So, you know, and also just the proliferation of casinos. I think the American Gaming Association put out a study that something like 75% of pro teams play within 30 minutes of a casino. So there's gambling everywhere now, and I think the leagues realize that Las Vegas' motives are really pretty much intact with theirs. And the other big thing was just having an arena built for this hockey team. There's no question of where to put them. We had a state-of-the-art facility that was privately funded and opened earlier this year, so that they'll have no trouble finding a home.
All right, let's get back to the gambling situation, because when I was there, and I remember the Arizona State scandal, and one of the John McCain was so anti-gambling because of it, but Las Vegas was very quick to point out, we were the ones that notified the feds. We were the ones that pointed out the betting irregularities that caused people to sort of look into that closely. Does that bode well with Las Vegas when they say, look, we are on top of this before you even think there's a scandal? We already know.
Yeah, exactly. You said it much better than I could. And I think for years it was really frustrating for those guys, because they were yelling that all the casino executives were saying that, and I felt like they were getting nowhere. Like, you know, the attitudes weren't really shifting. I've only been here 7 years, but even when I first got here, I think it was extremely far-fetched for a team to be able to look past that early league. And I do think all those years of saying that, I think they've kind of gotten through a little bit. Especially, I think it's helped that we've seen some of the leagues, you know, partner up with the daily fantasy sports industry, which is way has way more questionable things going on in the gaming industry. So I think that it's been just a long process of education, and finally, them standing up and saying that over and over and over again. You saw Adam Silver write that New York Times editorial a couple of years ago. I think it's finally hit these guys that, hey, they actually do have a point, and they do have the same ultimate goal as we do.
All right, so who was the group that put this together, and how long had the people of Las Vegas been kind of having the cloud of the NHL possibly coming to their city?
Yeah, well, it was an ownership group led by Bill Foley, who's made his millions of dollars in the financial services industry, also with help from the Maloof family. Their minority owners, of course, have been in the Vegas market for years. They opened the Palms, of course, used to own the Kings. And really, this all started, according to Foley, in December 2013. That's when he had heard that MGM and AEG were combining to build this one of the best arenas in the country. He went to them to confirm that, and they said that, you know, this isn't a rumor, this is something that's going to happen. We're going to have this thing built. Then he went to the NHL, having like a lifelong aspiration to own an NHL team. And they said, hey, we'll support you looking into it, but we're not going to promise anything. He looked into it, and saw that there was demand here. He got a bunch of season ticket deposits, and it all happened, you know, somewhat fast. I think in December 2013, and now having the team.
Yeah, the expansion draft, and it's like this in a lot of sports. You don't get like the bottom of the barrel. You can get some really solid players in the expansion drafts.
Yeah, and I haven't looked extremely close to how they're doing it. I've looked just the basics, but I mean, Gary Bettman was very adamant that this was the most favorable rules they've ever made for an expansion draft in the NHL. I know it's been, I think, 16 years now since they've had expansion, but in that time they had introduced, I think, like five teams in 7 years, and the expansion rules are always tougher this year or next year when the draft will be next summer. I mean, there's going to be a lot of guys that they're able to get, including a lot of goaltenders. Bill Foley, something he's already identified. He's so into this. He's already looked into who they're going to draft, and he thinks they're going to have two really good goalies, so he's fired up about that.
We talked about the gambling and how leagues are now moving past it, and then you brought up the state-of-the-art arena. Was there another major selling point why the NHL chose Las Vegas over Quebec, which has a deep hockey history?
Well, the number one problem with Quebec is just right now the Canadian dollar is so weak. It's hitting like a low of recent years. They are worried about bringing a team into that. And I would just go back to Foley, if he just really had this all together and was so well organized. He had worked on this for 3 years that his proposal, it sounded like, was just way more in-depth and had everything covered. Where Quebec City, they do have a venue now, and of course they have the demand, but they were still kind of scrambling to get it all together. Foley had all the season to pick. Ticket deposits, actually more than the NHL asked for. He had the venue, he had all the plans, and I think just the breadth of what he presented kind of overwhelmed the NHL and made him say, hey, we should really look at Las Vegas and do this thing.
I got to ask you this, because I spent the last 5 years in Nashville, and the local country music artists are always behind the Predators. They show up to games. Sometimes they perform in between periods. They really make an effort to be, you know, have establish a relationship with the local NHL team. Have we seen the celebrities in Vegas come out and support this and say they want to be a part of this? They want to go to games and rally behind this.
You know, not a ton. One person that comes off the top of my head right away, I guess, not really an entertainer, but probably the world's most well-known poker player, Daniel Negreanu, who's one of the players that lives here, has been a huge supporter. He's been the main one. I do think that will come, though. I mean, they're obviously, MGM is involved with this since they're playing at their arena, and MGM has, you know, so many great entertainers and all that stuff up and down the strip. So I really feel like that won't be a problem. But in the early going, you haven't heard a lot from those people other than Negreanu. He's the one that comes to my mind.
I was thinking Wayne Newton. I'm hoping Wayne Newton at least goes to a game or two, because you got to get Wayne out there.
I'm sure you'll see. I'm sure you'll see Mr. Las Vegas out there at some point.
The Oakland Raiders, is that on a scale of 1 to 10, what's the possibility of that happening? Because sometimes I feel these are smoke screens, and then sometimes I think there's more meat behind it. What's the feeling on the Raiders possibly relocating there?
Yeah, on 1 to 10, I think it's right in the middle, which I it's tough for me to gauge what the national consensus is, but I think there's a really good chance of this happening. So I'd say it's probably a little bit less than 50-50 right now. I mean, the main thing that's going back and forth right now, and there was actually an update on it today, is that Adelson and the Raiders want a bigger public contribution to get the stadium built, and Clark County doesn't really want to give that, but they put a pretty good counteroffer in today that would take, I think, $550 million of public money. If they can get this sorted out and they build this stadium, the plans for the stadium are just so over the top, and I think it would be such a great venue that some NFL team would probably wind up there if they can get the stadium built.
Public sentiment on a stadium. Some groups would say, sure, we want it. We wanted this forever. In Las Vegas, is public money cool with this?
From what I can tell, is people don't want to pony up the public money. If they want as little as possible. They don't think it's necessary, especially now. I may be spoiled after getting the NHL here with a totally privately funded arena. The T-Mobile Arena just sprung up in no time because there was that $375 million of private money. And knowing that Sheldon Adelson, who's behind this, is worth, you know, almost $40 billion, I think the sentiment is, well, can you really not just put in $2 billion and split it with the Raiders? So I would say that it's kind of on the side of they don't want to put any public money into it.
Case Kiefer, appreciate the time. Las Vegas Sun, as the Las Vegas City of Las Vegas gets an NHL team. I really appreciate your time on this. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about the LeBron James, the celebration continuing, but why he will not go into the Olympics. I think it's kind of clear as to why he is not going to play in Rio. It has nothing really to do with Zika. We'll also go back over the NBA draft because, you know, like I said earlier tonight, there's been some okay picks. Not so, there's been good picks, but I don't think there were any terrible picks. I'll give you the top 10 and what I thought from that. 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. If you want to get your thoughts in on the draft, winners, losers for you, how your team did, what's all coming up next. I'm Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Thanks to Case Kiefer for joining us to talk a little bit about the city of Las Vegas. God, I hope Wayne Newton goes to games. That would be great. What's Wayne Newton doing these days? Still Vegasing? I'm assuming. I'm assuming he's not doing anything else. I remember when I was at the Las Vegas Silver Bandits, the guy that had front row seats to all our games, and he showed up a lot, was Robin Leach of Lifestyles in the Rich and Famous fame. He might be before your time, Robin Leach. He used to have a show on in the 80s called Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Yeah, I think it was still remember going that? When I was like a young kid, maybe early 90s.
Because I got to think, I don't know what kind of shelf life that show has, but I got to think it's not long because a lot of people would go, yeah, that's enough. All right, we get it. They have yachts and boats and stuff. Like, but he had this show and he it would be like, Donald Trump goes on his private helicopter ride. And he would just show Donald Trump in a helicopter ride and landing and getting on a boat. And then they would talk about some sheik in Saudi Arabia that has like 14 Rolls Royces. And that's basically the whole show. And he would come to every game. I mean, he came to every game.
He's the one that
minor league baseball, basketball team, and he came all the time.
He's the one that says something about like, what's the saying? He said something about caviar dreams or something.
Yeah, champagne wishes and caviar dreams.
Yes.
That was his big line. And I was when you're a kid, I watch that show because like I wanted to be rich.
Right.
Like I was like, oh, I want to one day have a gold phone in my car. And that show was that's what that was all about. But he showed up all the time. And I used to give him stats. I used to run stats to him. And he would love it. So I wonder in the NA if all the like Penn Jillette and Carrot Top and I don't know, Celine Dion, if she's still in town, or the Osmonds, if they're still in town, are going to be fixtures at the new Las Vegas NHL team. Well, we'll see. I will tell you this. I'm really glad for that city. I really am. I know I've been saying this over and over again. That is great. That's a fun place to go, and I'm glad they got a team, and the arena is going to be nice. It's going to be on the strip. It's going to be fantastic. So I really I will have to tell you that's going to be fun. All right, so I'm going to grade the next couple of the top 10 picks in the NBA draft. I don't really do grades, so I'll give you my overall thoughts. First of all, Ben Simmons to Philadelphia. Man, I really hate this pick. I don't like Ben Simmons at all. I don't understand why the Philadelphia 76ers would take Ben Simmons. Nah, he was the top player. This is a no-brainer for the Sixers. That no drama. That's why I wish there was drama. I wish there was an Anthony Bennett moment. Remember when Anthony Bennett got drafted one and everyone went, what? Remember everyone went
still
crazy.
Saying, what?
What? That's insane. Oh, my God. There wasn't that. I mean, it was just I was listening to some Philly radio today and they were all jacked up for Ben Simmons, just all jacked up. So Brandon Ingram went number two, and this is another A-plus pick for the LA Lakers because these are the two top guys in the draft. These are what these teams wanted. This is why they wanted the ping pong balls to bounce their way. So Brandon Ingram is an A-plus for the Lakers. Now, Jaylen Brown is rather interesting because I've heard it like, you know, he's a younger player and there's a little maturity issue and whatnot. But I was really surprised that the Celtics had this pick and kept this pick. I really was surprised that they couldn't find something. Now, I don't know if that's more on Boston's end or just the feeling of teams around it that they didn't want to give up too much or whatever. But I was, you know, nothing wrong with Jaylen Brown. He's a fine player. I was actually surprised that this is where the Celtics went because I didn't think the Celtics would be making a pick at number three. Dragan Bender, I hear, is a fantastic pick for the Phoenix Suns, that they really needed a power forward, and this is a kid who's got tremendous upside in that position. He really has all of the great tools, right? The problem is, how many times have we heard this from players outside the United States? 100? So I don't know if this is going to be as good as people say, but people who follow that better than I do are all high on Bender. They love this kid. And in the interview after when he got drafted, he said all the right things. He basically in the interview said he could do every single thing, including make the team dinner, book all of their flights, and also repair cars if they absolutely needed him to.
How much do you think this is from Kristaps Porzingis, the way he came into the league? Because they're very similar players.
Completely.
Size,
completely.
They both shoot, they can both handle the ball a little bit.
And when people write analysis of this stuff, I would love for people to sort of give us an honest how much they actually know of this guy. Because when you hear a guy say like, he can stretch the floor and he can, how many games have you watched? Just tell me. I completely trust you, but if you're going to go out on a limb and say this guy from Croatia or this guy from Israel or these guys from France, give me an idea of how well you're paying attention to them. Because if your job is to grade NBA talent, I'm sure you're watching tremendous film. But there wasn't one naysayer on Bender. This was a solid pick for the Phoenix Suns. Chris Dunn for Providence. Boy, did you get weepy-eyed on his story? I didn't know it was that bad. Was that great? What a great story. Not great story. It was tragic, but it's a great way to introduce yourself to people who may not have been paying attention to you when you were at Providence, to that wide audience that is kind of watching and saying, oh, yeah, I may have heard of him. His story and his struggles, that was a real emotional moment. This is a pretty good pick for the Minnesota Timberwolves. He's older. He's a little bit more seasoned. Fantastic. I think this is a guy that works really hard. I think the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to like Chris Dunn. Buddy Hield for Oklahoma. I thought this was an A+. I know this has gotten bad grades from some people. I think our good friend Jeremy Wu gave it a B-. I love it. I love it. You got, an older player, more experienced player, and I know that's sort of a negative on people because they love, if you're going to be in the draft, you might as well be 19. But Buddy Hield is a guy that stayed in college and really worked on his game. Anthony Davis needs help in the backcourt, absolutely needs some help. He needs another scoring option. I think Hield is a great pick for New Orleans. I know Jamal Murray was on the board, and he really had some great workouts, but I like Hield. Speaking of Jamal Murray, going to Denver, this makes their backcourt fantastic with Emmanuel Mudiay. I think this is an A. Marquise Chris is from the Phoenix Suns. I knew he was going to go in the top 10, so he might as well go to Phoenix. They have some draft picks to play around with. And I didn't get to finish my top 10 because the hour's over. Yahoo Sports Radio.